Okay, I think I've gotten up here and... is it back that way? Open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 14. That's where we'll be studying from tonight. First Samuel chapter 14. I want to say thank you to the elders for the confidence that you've given in to me and allowing me to speak tonight. I really appreciate it. We have so many good speakers, preachers here in this congregation, and we're really blessed with that. And I appreciate the opportunity to stand up and speak before you tonight. You know, throughout the Bible we see examples of the Lord working for His people. And the character that I want to talk about tonight is in 1 Samuel chapter 14, and that's Jonathan, Saul's son, Jonathan. Saul was the king of Israel. Jonathan was the oldest son of Saul. He was courageous. He was strong. He had integrity, and he had great faith. He was a man that truly believed that God was working through him. And we're going to look at 1 Samuel chapter 14, and just make some points from that, from that battle that they had with the Philistines, and see if we can apply some of those things to ourselves tonight. As we go through this, I'd like for us to just think about these things and ask ourselves these questions. Spiritually speaking, am I strong? And am I courageous? Do I have that kind of faith like Jonathan had? And am I willing to allow God to work through me? Well, some of the things I'd like for us to think about as we study tonight. Before we go into this chapter, I want to kind of give a little background. If you go back to chapter 8 of 1 Samuel, you see where... Samuel was old, and his sons, it says, did not walk in his ways, that they were dishonest and corrupt. And the people came to Samuel and said, "We want a king like the nations around us." Of course, this disappointed Samuel, and it also disappointed God. But God told Samuel, he said, "Well, heed what the people have to say, and I will give them a king." And so Saul became the first king. Now, when Saul was king, in the beginning, it started out, he had some victories. He had victories against the Ammonites. And as time went by, it says in 1 Samuel chapter 11 that his second year as king, he faced a different enemy, and that was the Philistines. The Philistines were had a very impressive army. They were very fierce. They had 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and it says, "And people as the sand on the seashore in multitude." And that's found in chapter 13 of 1 Samuel. So this would have been a very intimidating enemy. There's another thing too. Not only did they have this large army, they outnumbered the Israelites with their weapons. Verse 22 says, "There were no swords or spears found in the hands of the Israelites except Saul and Jonathan." So 1 Samuel opens up with Saul and Jonathan, along with these 600 men, and they're camped at Gibeah, and this is across from where the Philistine garrison was. And at this time, everyone was waiting for Saul's command. He's the king, and he's the leader, and they're waiting for his command. And it never came from Saul. It never happened. And I believe that Jonathan had decided he'd waited long enough. It was time to engage the enemy. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 14. I'm going to read 23 verses. It's a little bit lengthy, but I'm going to read these verses. Then we'll make some points. Starting in verse 1, it says, "Now it happened one day that Jonathan, son of Saul, said to the young man who bore his armor, 'Come, let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side.' But he did not tell his father. And Saul was sitting in the outskirts of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. The people who were with him were about 600 men. Ahijah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, was wearing an ephod. But the people did not know that Jonathan had gone. Now between the passes by which Jonathan sought to go over in the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on one side and a sharp rock on the other side. And the name of one was Bozez, and the name of the other, Senna. The front of one faced northward opposite Michmash, and the other southward opposite Gibeah. Then Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, 'Come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few.' So his armor bearer said to him, 'Do all that is in your heart. Go then. Here I am with you, according to your heart.' And Jonathan said, 'Very well, let us cross over to these men, and we will show ourselves to them. And if they say to us, "Wait until we come to you," then we will stand still in our place and not go up to them. But if they say thus, 'Come to us,' then we will go up. For the Lord has delivered them into our hand, and this will be a sign to us." So both of them showed themselves to the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, "Look, the Hebrews are coming out of holes where they have hidden." Then the men of the garrison called to Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, "Come up to us, and we will show you something." So Jonathan said to his armor-bearer, "Come up after me, for the Lord has delivered them into the hand of Israel." And Jonathan climbed up on his hands and his knees with his armor-bearer after him. And they fell before Jonathan. And as he came after him, his armor-bearer killed them. The first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor-bearer made was about 20 men within about half an acre of land. And there was trembling in the camp, in the field, and among all the people. The garrison and the raiders also trembled, and the earth quaked. So there was a very great trembling. Now the watchmen of Saul and Gibeah of Benjamin looked, and there was the multitude melting away, and they went here and there. Then Saul said to the people who were with him, "Now call the roll and see who has gone from us." And when they had called the roll, surprisingly, Jonathan and his armor-bearer were not there. And Saul said to Ahijah, "Bring the ark of God here," for at this time the ark of God was with the children of Israel. Now it happened while Saul talked to the priest that the noise which was in the camp of the Philistines continued to increase. So Saul said to the priest, "Withdraw your hand." And Saul and all the people who were with him assembled, and they went to the battle. And indeed every man's sword was against his neighbor, and there was very great confusion. Moreover, the Hebrews who were with the Philistines before that time who went up with them into the camp from the surrounding country, they also joined the Israelites, who was Saul and Jonathan. Likewise, all the men of Israel who had hidden in the mountains of Ephraim, when they heard that the Philistines fled, they also followed hard after them in the battle. So the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle shifted to Beth Aven. So let's look at some of these verses. I'm going to go back and we're going to look at some verses and see if we can apply some of these things to ourselves. Let's start by looking back at verses 1 and 2. It says, "Now it happened one day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man who bore his armor, 'Come, let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is in on the other side.' But he did not tell his father. And Saul was sitting in the outskirts of Gibeah, under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. The people who were with him were about 600 men." So we see a contrast here. We see Jonathan in verse 1. Jonathan says three words. He says, let us go. Let us go. And when you think about the contrast between Jonathan and Saul, here's Saul, leader of the Israelites, sitting under this tree, resting, hesitating, not doing anything. Jonathan says, it's time for us to go and do something. Time to engage the enemy. And I think we can learn from that. At least one thing I know is that we can think about how Jonathan reacted. We need to think about ourselves. We need to think about going out instead of sitting down. You know, here are the enemy's nearby. Saul's sitting under the shade. But Jonathan's out looking for the enemy. That's a great contrast that I see right there. I see someone who is out looking for the enemy, out looking for something to do. You know, I believe the Lord worked for Jonathan that day because Jonathan worked for the Lord. And I think we see other examples throughout the Bible, many examples. You think about Abraham. God told Abraham to go out and leave his home and go to a land that he didn't know. Abraham did that. He obeyed God, and God blessed him for that. Moses was raised in Pharaoh's home, and yet he left that and went with his people and led them back to the promised land. We think about Joshua and how he conquered the land of Canaan and how God was with him in those days. We see that in the New Testament with the apostles, with other examples, and there's many that we could name of people that God has been with them because they worked for God. You know, when I think about myself, you know, how often, and I meant to mention this, that this is one of those lessons that, you know, I think really applies to me. I need to think about what I'm doing. And hopefully we can make these points and maybe help us to think about what we're doing in our spiritual lives. So how often do I hesitate? How often do I wait for the right time? How often do I sit waiting for someone else to take the lead? And I think we need to follow John's example, and we need to get up, we need to get going. And I don't need to be sitting around. I don't need to be waiting for someone else to get me to get going. I need to stop waiting for everyone else. I need to stop waiting for someone else. I just need to step up and start working for the Lord. And I know we need to have plans, and plans are important. But there comes a point in time, I think, when it's time to step up and get busy. Second, let's look at verse 6 in chapter 14. Verse 6 says, then Jonathan said to the young man who wore his armor, come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or saving by few. You know, Jonathan knew that numbers didn't matter. And I think we need to recognize that as ourselves. We need to recognize that the Lord will give a victory regardless of the numbers. As I mentioned earlier, the Philistines had a very large army, a very fierce army. And yet only Jonathan and his armor bearer went out to fight against him. And he recognized that the Lord could save with 600 or he could save with only 2. And they knew they weren't alone and knew that God was with them. You know, when I think about the size of the congregation, maybe it may be a small congregation. It may be 15. It may be 200. It may be 1,000. You know, the numbers don't matter. It's what we're doing for the Lord. If we're working for the Lord, He will bless us. Let's look at verses 8 through 10. Then Jonathan said, very well, let us cross over to these men, and we will show ourselves to them. If they say thus to us, wait until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place and do not go up to them. But if they say thus, come up to us, then we will go up. For the Lord has delivered them into our hand, and this will be a sign to us. Jonathan was willing to fight wherever. He was willing to go wherever he needed to go. He said, I'll fight them here, I'll fight them there. I'll fight them in the valley, I'll fight them in the mountain. And it didn't matter, again, because he knew the Lord was with him. One thing that Jonathan didn't have, and that was plan C, and that was to retreat. And I don't think we need to have a plan C. We need to be willing to step up and take the gospel to lost souls. And Mark 16:15 says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we need to be willing to do the same. We need to be willing to take the gospel to our neighbors, to our friends, our family members. And remember, no plan C. We don't need to retreat. Verses 11 12. Let's look at those. So both of them showed themselves to the garrison of the Philistines, and the Philistines thus said, look, the Hebrews are coming out of the holes where they have hidden. Then the men of the garrison called to Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us, and we will show you something. So Jonathan said to his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord has delivered them into the hand of Israel. Now this one, I think, can be a challenge for us. We need to ignore the mockery. You know, we need to ignore the times when people are going to laugh at us or make fun of us. Jonathan ignored all these things. And when you think back about that, the Philistines, as far as they were concerned, they did have a lot to laugh about. Here were the Israelites, and some of them were hiding in the mountains. And here are two men coming up against them. You know, Satan has many weapons, and mockery is one of those great weapons that he has. You know, he says, you can't do it. He says, if you try, I'm going to defeat you. He says, you're not good enough to do the Lord's work, or you don't know enough to do the Lord's work. You don't know enough to teach others. We have to remember not to let Satan defeat us. We don't need to listen to that. Again, once we realize that we may face laughter, we may face criticism, we may face insults, we just have to ignore that. Philippians 3:14 says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ. We need to be doing the same thing. We need to be pressing toward that goal, pressing toward our prize, and ignoring all the things that people may throw at us. And you know, really the worst defeat that we can have is if we back down to Satan. Look at verse 13. It says, and Jonathan climbed up on his hands and knees with his armor bearer after him. And they fell before Jonathan. As he came after him, his armor bearer killed them. You know, we need to be like Jonathan. We need to work hard to reach the lost. It says Jonathan climbed up on his hands and knees. And really, it was not only was he willing to go and fight, but he was willing to do whatever it took to reach them, whatever it took to get there. He climbed on his hands and knees. Question for us is, do we have that kind of dedication? Are we willing to get up and go out and teach the lost? Are we willing to do whatever it takes to reach them, to work hard? Am I waiting for someone else to do it? Am I waiting for someone else to walk in the door? Or am I going out to them? You know, if we want to teach others, it does mean getting out and reaching others. Whether it's at work, in the neighborhood, we've got to reach others. And maybe maybe there's some changes that we need to make in our lives. Maybe we need to give up something. Maybe we need to just sit down and reevaluate where we are. And we can only answer those questions for ourselves. But I think we need to just reevaluate, what am I doing for the Lord? What am I doing to serve Him? Another point from Jonathan is that, you know, he climbed hard, got up there, but when he got to the top, when he got there, after climbing on his hands and knees, he didn't give up. He went right to battle. And we need to do the same thing. Oops. And one more thing that impresses me about Jonathan is that Jonathan inspired others. And we need to be inspirations to our brothers and sisters. We need to be inspiring. One of the greatest things that Jonathan did that day was to do that. There were 600 soldiers with Saul. But they quickly joined Jonathan in battle once he began. Even the Hebrews, it said, who were with the Philistines, who went up to the camp with them, joined the Israelites who were Saul and Jonathan. And all those who had hidden in the mountains and followed after the Philistines in the battle, they all joined in once Jonathan got it started. What started with the courage of just two, Jonathan as armor bearer, grew into 600 and soon went to the whole nation of Israel. What an inspiration to us to think about that. To think about, if I get busy, can I inspire others to get busy as well? You know, the Lord can and will work with us. We just need to put ourselves to work. So tonight I'd like to encourage us all. I'd like to encourage us to think about these things, to think about what we are doing to serve the Lord. We don't need to stand back and wait. We don't need to stand back and wait for someone to tell me to do personal work. I don't need to stand back and wait for someone to tell me to visit the sick. I don't need to stand back and wait for someone to ask me to teach a class. I don't need to stand back and wait for whatever it is I'm waiting for. You know, maybe it's time I just step up, get out of my comfort zone, and get to work for the Lord. I think we need to be like a Jonathan. I think we need to work. When work needs to be done, we need to get up and do it. We need to remember that numbers don't matter. Always need to remember to be ready for the battle. Ignore the mockery, how hard it may be, how difficult it might be. Always work hard and be an inspiration to others as we work for the Lord. If we do these things, we can accomplish so much. You know, the Lord will work for us if we'll put ourselves in the work for the Lord. Appreciate your attention. Tonight, you may be here and maybe you have been working for the Lord, not like you should. Or maybe you never have. Maybe it's time for you to think about obeying Christ and becoming a Christian. If there's anything that we can do for you tonight, won't you come forward as we stand and sing?